Daniel 6, 1 through 10. And I apologize from last week. My son let me know that I called out one scripture and read another. But I believe this is going to be the right one this time. Daniel chapter 6, 1 through 10. And this is how it reads. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the kingdom and said to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and decree." Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You may be seated. I like it when he knew. When he knew. We want to talk just for a moment on a good habit. A good habit. How many of you know we all are exposed to habits? A habit means or is a pattern or behavior acquired through repetitions. It is a customary practice or addiction. If you do something at least seven times, it's considered a habit. Daniel made it a habit of praying three times a day. Some would say it was his custom. But whether we say habit, custom, or use any other phrase, we all have to admit and agree, he continued to do the same thing over and over again. There are good habits and there are bad habits. Bad habits are hard to break. Good habits are hard to keep. Some make it a habit to get up in the morning for their coffee. I can't make it without my coffee. There are also habits we are unaware that we do. Some cross their legs when they sit down as a habit. Some people rub somebody's back when they hug them. It's a habit. Whether you realize it or not, it's even a habit when you put your socks and shoes on. You prefer one rather than the other. Now, I found myself as a habit, I seem to put on my right sock before I put on my left. But I put on my left shoe before I put on my right. I don't know whether I'm trying to balance my habit out or what. Now, Rosalind has a habit. Her habit is that she gets in the car on the passenger side every time she gets in. And she's done it more than 7 times. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to break that habit. It ain't working. Let's just look at what it says about Daniel. Verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now Belshazzar, who was the king before Darius, promised to Daniel that he would be third ruler in the kingdom. First there was the general of the army. The second was the president of the palace. And the third of the land and province, which would be Daniel. Just like kings appoint people then, we appoint people today. And we expect the people that we appoint, they would actually please the people or serve the people. But yet they seem to be serving. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. You see, Daniel was found to be faithful. He was noble and wise to Belshazzar. So Darius made him prime minister of the whole empire. And what this did, this awakened the jealousy of his colleagues. How many of you know when you are placed in a position that everybody else wants, somebody going to be jealous. And when they get jealous, they're going to try to do something to bring you down. But Daniel had the grace of God. Now I want you to ask yourself, what type of spirit do you have? See, we don't have to look at Daniel, but just look at self. What type of spirit do you have? Is it humble? I hear the fans. Is it meek and quiet? Is it easy to be entreated? Is it teachable? If there is envy, jealousy, or strife in your heart, it makes your spirit less than excellent. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Ain't that wonderful? Just like they tried to find fault in Daniel, people are looking to find fault in you. Daniel didn't have the Holy Spirit, but he had an excellent spirit. And he was faithful. There was no error, no fault found in him. Pilate couldn't find fault in Jesus. But they made up lies. We have been given God's spirit. So what do you think they'll say about you? When you're faithful, they'll call you crazy. When they can't find something, they'll make up something. But we must be faithful and allow the Spirit of God to rule and reign and teach, lead, and guide us in all truth. Daniel made worshiping God a habit. He made it. How many know you make habits? You wasn't born with it. You make them. Daniel made worshiping God a habit. He got on his knees and prayed 3 times a day. What is your habit when it comes to prayer? That's the question. What is your habit? Do you pray before you go to bed? I forgot. Do you give thanks before you eat? I thought about it. Do you make it a habit to pray when you get up? Sometimes. Do you have communion only on the first Sunday? See, we have been taught that it doesn't have to be just on first Sunday. You can have communion every day. Jesus said, for as what? Often as you do it in remembrance. But see, churches have made it a habit to only do it certain times. Once a month, once a week, once a year. You can do it you can do it twice. Amen. Three times. Huh? Three times. Five if you desire. But you're communing. Don't make it a meal. But when you commune with him, as often as you do it. See, just as an example, saints, and what I'm talking about, when we had the opportunity to go out and administer communion to those that were shut in, we was doing it often. Amen. We'd have it here. We go to this house. Then we go to this house. Then we go to this house. But as often as I did it in remembrance of him, giving him thanks and blessing him. Look at verse 5. Then said these men, that's the presidents and princes and all those that were in authority that had odds and against Daniel. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Huh? Daniel was abiding and obeying all the laws of the land. Whatever the king had set in place, those things that were in place was not against his God. He honored it. But they're saying is what we got to do, we got to find something against the law of his God. Amen. How many know the world right now is trying to find and do everything against the law of God? Yes, they are. Where does the world find something happening against us? Is it the law of God or the law of man? If someone follows you all day long, would they find something? What would you be doing? What would you be found doing? Standing in the liberty where Christ has made you free? Or standing in the line where protesters are trying to make sin free? Would you be found driving sensible or road rage? Or road rage can come up on all of a sudden. All somebody got to do is do something. You know, I was parked, mind you, in a parking space at Kroger. And this lady but next to me went to get in and she started mumbling.
Some people don't think they don't know how to park. They know how to park.
And I know I'm in the parking space. Just I know I'm good.
Some people.
And said it again. And I'm looking. And flesh just hit me. I mean, flesh slapped me real hard. And I said to myself, self, and I said it out loud. I said, if I wasn't a Christian, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd flip you the bird. Now guess what? Guess who was sitting beside me? That woman that makes a habit getting in the passenger seat. She said, well, you already thought it in your heart. Road rage in a parking space. Now, okay, I'm going to hit some of the rest of y'all. In the grocery store, when you shopping for your groceries, do you pick a grape and taste it and keep on going? Or do you buy the grapes? You know how we be testing stuff. But see, I do it where it's legal. How's it legal? I go to Costco's. And see, why are you going to Costco's? They be giving you free samples. I don't have to buy it, just free sample. Then we get out of Costco, Rod said, you want to go get something to eat? I'm full. But we make it a habit. That's my habit. When I go to Costco, that's what I'm looking for. But what will people find you doing if they followed you all day long? When it comes to the habits of God, we need to be found guilty of all of them. I got one. Well, you might be saying, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? If we were put before a judge and these questions were put to us, here are the answers we should be giving. How do you plead when it comes to praising God? Guilty. How do you plead when it comes to praying to God? Guilty. How do you plead when it comes to worshiping God? Guilty. How do you plead when it comes to serving God? Guilty. How do you plead when it comes to going to church? What was the question? Can the world find anyone to testify you are not guilty? It says in the Bible, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do you plead? Guilty. But how can you say you love God when you have not seen him and hate your brother who you have? So are you really guilty? Daniel received the death penalty because he was guilty. Even though the king had to honor his word, the king had a sleepless night when he found that Daniel did what he did. He had to obey the word that he had written. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But because Daniel was faithful and made it a habit of praying and worshiping God daily, there was no harm. Let's look closely at what was said in verse 10, and you'll see what I mean. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, see, Daniel knew what the king signed. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the odds were against him. He knew what this meant. He knew what would happen. Yet he worshiped God anyway with boldness. He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber. You know, he could have closed them. You know how if it's something we don't want somebody to see us doing, we close. See, even right now, you could be praying to God and wouldn't nobody know because you got your mask on. But he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Everybody saw what he was doing. He is not ashamed to say thank you, Jesus. Not ashamed to pray in public or out loud. Not ashamed to tell your friends. Are you ashamed to tell your friends that you're a Christian? Are you ashamed to tell other Christians what you believe about Jesus? No law, no person was going to stop him from worshiping. No law or person should stop you. What will it take to turn you from God? What will it take to turn you to God? You see, because of the king's decree, he put Daniel into the lion's den. But even the king said, the God whom thou serve continually, he will deliver thee. Even the king had this confidence, Daniel, your God will deliver you. But I got to obey the decree that I wrote. I didn't know you was going to do this. Do you believe that God will deliver you? From whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever you're going through, whatever's happening, do you believe? If you read further on, it said the king could not sleep. He had a sleepless night. He didn't want to hear no music. You know sometimes how that's what settles and soothes us. I just need to listen to some music and I can go to sleep. I know when my children were growing up, all three of them, they had to have cartoons on all night long to go to sleep. I don't even want the television in the room. But the king could not sleep. And it says he rose early the next morning and called out to Daniel. To me, that's faith right there. I mean, you gonna put me in the lion's den? You know what lions do. They do what they do. But he ran and he called out to Daniel. Daniel said, God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. I know them lions had been hungry. But the beasts have to obey the voice of God. Not one of you better open up your mouth. So Daniel was delivered. And the lions got fed. Because what happened was the king took all of those presidents and those princes and their wives and their children and threw them in the lion's den. But Daniel was delivered. We need to get into a habit of trusting God and his word. Okay, just in case that didn't register, let me put it this way. We need to get into a habit of trusting his word and God. Let's close with this familiar passage of scripture. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Starting at verse 31. Paul is asking this question and writing into the Romans. Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I want to say this also, if God be against you, who can be for you? 32 says, he that spared not his own son, God didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh the intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Do you hear me? We are more than conquerors. Napoleon was conquered, but we are more than conquerors. Bless his name. Then it says, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded today? Are you convinced that neither death nor life? So whether death is coming or life is after you, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There ain't nothing existing, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, natural, you name it, is not going to separate us from the love of Christ. Because I have made it a habit to worship him in spirit and in truth. I have made it a habit to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made me free. I have made it a habit to let him live and move and have my being in me. I am persuaded. I made that habit. And my time is up. And I thank you for yours.